Happy New Year. On the Mark is back, and we start off the new year with an incredible interview, one that I don't do a ton, talking to UFC fighters. But when I was presented with Jorge Masvidal, I became extremely intrigued because he loves the movie Scarface. His father came over here on a makeshift boat / raft and ended up going to prison because he was Al Pacino in Scarface. Say hello to my little friend. Not that bad, but went to prison. And here was young Jorge, who had to find his way and was doing boxing matches in backyards with Kimbo Slice, who I didn't know a ton about either, but ended up learning about Kimbo. And these are some amazing characters. So we're going to have Jorge on the show today. Really enjoyed the conversation with him. Want to tell you about New Year's resolutions for At The Carm. Yours truly on Twitter. And my New Year's resolution is to, one, be consistent with On The Mark every single week, but also I want to be clear and current in all my relationships. If I have an issue, if I have a fight with my newly found wife and or family member and or friend and or coworker, rather than holding it in, I want to have the conversation and move it forward. I encourage you all to do the same. Don't hold grudges in 2020. Get it out there. Remove the pillows. Get closer. And that's exactly what we're going to do with Jorge Masvidal today. On the Mark with yours truly, Mark Harmon, starts right now. You're 34, you're having the time of your life, most success, and I've heard you talk about, I don't even want to think about the day that I'm not doing this. But then there's also the rest of your life, right? So yeah. You've got to balance. I love the limelight, I love the money, I love doing this, and then I also, you know, want to be able to live and enjoy my life, my kids, anything going forward. So how do you think you'll at best know when it's, you know what, I got to walk away from doing what I love?
Well, I got a set time in my mind already. I've been competing professionally 16 years. From the moment I was 18, I turned professional right away, and 3 years and change as an amateur competing. But I've been in combat sports always since a child. 3 years is the calculated square root for me, 3 years. For many reasons, you know, but in these 3 years, I'll be able to get a lot of the things that I want to get accomplished done. And that's it. It's time for me to hang it up. That'll be 19 professional years in the sport. That's it, you know. It's, even I got to graduate at some point and leave the college campus.
So I know you're not going to, you can't necessarily know, but let's say 3 years down the line, you're still successful, you feel good, you think you can still do it. You think you'll be able to walk away?
You know, that's a tough question. You know, if I'm still the best guy in the room 3 years from now and kicking all these youngsters' butts, because as it is right now, I'm already like an ancient relic, you know. I'm just 35, but when I look around the room, the oldest guy in there is 24, 25.
Right.
Yeah, I'm kicking everybody's butt in the room right now. But, you know, as you get older, it tends to fade. And I wouldn't want somebody, if I ever lost in the ring, I wouldn't want that individual to beat me because they'd be the shell of me. You know, I'm going to walk away when it's the right time. I still got my wits about me. My body's working. And I'm not just going to hand over the torch to somebody. Hey, I'm an old man. Come beat me up. Some guy that never could have done anything in my prime with me wouldn't have been a warm-up for me. That's not gonna happen, you know. I'll walk out on my terms.
I love it. So how did it go for you being good friends with your guy Colby Covington to, I guess, where your relationship is now? I know that he didn't pay a coach and that really pissed you off. Is that the only part of the story?
Well, that was the nail in the coffin. That was it, man. That it's not just some coach. It's my father that he basically ripped off. That individual's like my father. He lives with me, actually, my coach as well. He's been training me since I'm a kid. So imagine how I'd feel that I bring this individual, Kobe, and I tell him, yeah, I trained this guy. He's not a bad guy. You know, I had known Kobe already for like a year. and Kobe was helping me out a lot. And he trained him from his amateur all the way up to his title fight in Chicago with RDA. And when he fights for that title, he finally gets some money. When he finally gets some money, what do you think he does? He rips my coach off. He burns him. So since then, I had already cut ties with him. And, you know, that's it. But we weren't going to talk about it. We weren't going to mention it on the media. But, of course, him being the fucking idiot that he is, the reason why I got his jaw broken, he went on and took to the public and talking shit about me and my corporation and my firm and all that stuff. And I wasn't going to let that sit well with me either, you know. I don't like to talk, but I know how to talk. I could defend myself in the talking realm as well.
There's no doubt. I personally, I'm not you, by the way, but I get offended when he calls you Journeyman George. That's some serious BS. What do you think when you hear that?
I just think about all the times that he used to cut the sparring trains short. Like, he'd literally, in a 5-minute round, he'd make it to like 2 minutes and 30 seconds and just signal it off, or his nose would be bleeding and he wouldn't want to keep going. And I just laugh, man. There's nothing that individual can say to offend me, because it's all bullshit. As everybody's seen, he just says anything. He wants to create this reaction that me and you are having right now. That's all he wants to create. He doesn't want to beat guys. He wants to talk shit about guys and say he's better, but he doesn't want to have to prove that he's better than whoever he's talking shit about, you know?
Yeah, no, I got it.
You know? And I think this loss right here says a lot, you know? I don't think he comes back, man. I'll say it on there. I don't think he even comes back to fighting.
If he did and you faced him, would you rather 5-second him or do a full 15 complete pain experience?
24 minutes of beating his ass and then put him out. Yeah. That'd be the way to do it.
I saw on Twitter you gave some love to Ben. I was wondering, did you guys ever meet at Whole Foods? Did that occurrence ever happen?
No, we never met at Whole Foods and stuff. But Ben's all right, man. You know, he's not fighting anymore, so he's not on my aggressive meter, I could say. You know, and Ben's a hell of a wrestler, man. He did a lot in the sport. He did a lot in his time. You know, I wish he'd keep fighting after his hip surgery and stuff. But whatever, it is what it is. You know.
How often do you watch the 5-second knockout?
It's tough not to watch it at least once a week. The reason being is somebody will tag me and repost it, or do a new meme or a new highlight video to it, or somebody will just be watching it and show, hey, look at this again real quick. And I'm like, I've seen it a lot, man. You know, fans too, also, when they come up, this is my favorite fight of yours, you know, and luckily it's only 5 seconds.
I mean, it's cool though, right? To hold the fastest knockout in UFC history. I mean, that's I don't think it's unlikely that it would ever be topped.
It was a little bit surreal. I remember it wasn't until I got to my hotel room and I was hanging out. A couple of friends were over there and we were talking about fights and fights when I was like 12, 13 year old, we were watching. And as we were talking about those fights, I remembered everything. I was like, Lord have mercy. All these guys, I beat them. I got the record. Wow, that's nuts. I remember watching so-and-so knock out so-and-so and having the record at 7 seconds when I was a child. And now, shit, I got the record. That's crazy, you know? So it's nuts. It took a while, but when it hit hard.
Yeah. Oh, congrats on it, man. It's awesome. Let's talk Nate a second here. You obviously have a ton of respect for him. He calls himself the West Coast Gangster, and he called you out after beating Anthony Pettis. You're sitting there in the crowd. Everybody loved it. You're smiling. You gave the throat slash. But you have a ton of respect for this guy. What do you appreciate him now after facing him at Madison Square Garden and how it all went down?
I got respect for him before, and I got respect for him after. But, you know, some of the comments that he said after, they don't sit well with me, man. And,
yep.
And you know, he knows what he's doing. He's trying to bait me in for a rematch. There's no need for him to say that, because it doesn't matter who I fight next or whatever. When he gets his face reconstruction, when he gets whatever he's got to get done and he agrees on the next paycheck, we're going to fucking do it again. What are we talking about, a fight? Mm-hmm. Let's do it again. Don't invite me to a fucking email party or a baby shower. That type of shit you keep to yourself. You're talking about a fight? I'll fuck you up again, man. I don't see how he could possibly say that I was quitting at some point, or this is where he thought about he was going to quit. That's a hard sell, my brother. You know, who are you trying to sell that to? You're selling that to fucking, not even casuals will purchase that shit. If you know me, you know that just my nickname alone dictates I'm not going to back away from pain or fatigue. I'm just going to keep fighting, especially having the lead like that. I was just going to give it up for him. So him calling me a quitter, even saying that I could have quit, that shit doesn't sit well with me at all. So I got nothing nice to say about the individual right now, so I'm not going to say too much about Nate. Just when the time comes, just sign the fucking contract and, you know, tell me how long you need for your knee to be right so you could run 38 miles every day and all that stuff. Just you pick the day, you pick the city, let the company inform, and I'll show up there and kick your ass again, man, you know?
What about his brother Nick jumping in here?
That's another, you know, I'm here to fight, and like I told you, my time is limited. I got 3 years left. Time waits for no man, for no fucking man. If he gets all his stuff straightened out with USADA and the UFC and Dana White and these people put together a package deal and then they call my firm and then, you know, they give him numbers and everything is signed and stuff, we'll take that fight as well. But I'm not sitting here waiting for nobody. I'm just, the only reason why I'm not fighting right now is because I got a couple injuries I'm nursing. I'm going to heal those up. And as soon as I get back in there, I'm going to baptize somebody.
Would you rather, when you are ready to go here, would you rather take on Connor which I would think would be the biggest payday you could have right now, or would you rather fight Usman for the title?
Connor is not always going to be around, you know?
Yeah.
Whoever has the belt at that time will always be there. They'll always be a 170-pound champion. And what is the big deal if this guy that's been in the sport 16 fucking years goes on and gets a paycheck, huh? Fights to fight because it's not like I'm fighting a fucking killer, two-time champion, a guy that's a sniper with his left hand. And I'm also going to make a paycheck. So what's the problem with that? There isn't a problem with that. You know, it's just some of the casual fans, the guys have been watching the sport for like 3 years, maybe tops 5 years, and they think they're fucking diehard fans or the hardcore of the fans. No, I'm my fans. I'm the one. I got 16 years I've been doing this, my brother. My lineage goes way, way back then. I had to, before I was even in question to get this title shot, I had to go and get famous. You know how hard that fucking was? I had to get fucking famous, man, go viral and shit before they'd even consider of giving me the title. I wonder why, you know? I don't know the answers to that, but when I fight Usman, I'm going to break his face. I'll say right now on your show first, I'm going to embarrass that dude. I'm going to take him to school, drop him off, and I'm going to pick him back up, put him on the bus, take his ass home. That's exactly what the fuck I'm going to do to that guy. He can't hang with me, man. He's too one-dimensional. He's not skilled. And he sure as hell ain't tough, man. He doesn't have that next level grit in him. And I've seen it many times. I saw it with the guy that cleans the mats for me after I'm done whooping his ass. Gave him as much as he could handle. What do you think is going to happen when I put my paws on him?
Just for the record, I would love to see you fight Connor. I think that would be freaking awesome.
The plan is Connor, Usman, Mayweather. Whichever one of those falls in line, and how they fall in line, that's our plan, you know?
Yeah.
I love the fight. That's it.
So you're talking about going viral and getting famous. You know, today's a crazy day for you, Jorge. You're on ESPN. You're at the New York Stock Exchange. You're doing a zillion things. You're talking to us now. We really appreciate it. Are you...
See, I had to do all this. I didn't even get a title shot. I had to become famous. 16 years fighting in this fucking sport, man. It's not like and people be calling me an overnight sensation. No, I got famous overnight. That has nothing to do with my work ethic or how many fucking other people I put in the cemetery. Has nothing to do. People just came to find out about me in that 5-second clip. But I've been taking souls since I've started this sport, since the beginning of this sport.
Well, and look, when you go back and you look at your Kimbo Slice era and you're fighting Ray, and now everybody's seeing those videos, I saw you talking about how game bred that guy no longer exists. I kind of think he does. Like, that hungry dude is always inside you. I feel like he's driving you right now listening to you talk about your journey and how it's taken a while for you to get famous.
The hunger is always going to be there. But what I mean by that game bred is dead is that the guy that was competing in 2017 is no longer with us. He's just not here. That guy got put to sleep a long time ago. Something better, stronger, and meaner had to happen. And that's exactly what took place. That's what you saw in 2019. And this person has to die for the one in 2020 to come forth and be even meaner, badder, and just keep hurting people, you know? People don't like me because I'm fucking giving out food cooking tips and stuff. People like me because I bring violence. And to bring yourself to that level of violence, you got to be in phenomenal shape. You got to be one mean SOB, and that's all I'm planning on 2020, just being meaner and better.
Along those lines, you talked about doing the reality TV show and then, you know, getting with yourself and figuring yourself out and also training and pushing yourself to levels that you didn't know that you could go to. Can you talk at least a little bit about what you were doing where you put yourselves like, oh my God, I can actually do that, and how confidence built from that?
In the reality show, I get in the reality show and I'm competing against Olympic gymnasts. The guy that took silver at, I think, in 2000, Leo Manzana, for the mile. So imagine how fast this individual is. Everybody runs a mile. This guy took silver at the Olympics. He's on my team. I got a world champion boxer girl. I got another girl that's a gymnast, amongst other dudes that do, like, parkour that are world-class and stuff. So I'm seeing athletes from different fields and different disciplines. And I'm just picking their brains. I'm learning what they do, how they do, and I'm just bonding with them. I'm sharing some of my experiences of how we get ready for a fight. I'm hearing how their training goes, when they peak out, all this stuff. And that was amazing. That was a huge part of the show. But the real amazing part was just being away from everybody. It's at least 5-6 hours a day I'd get to be away from everybody, completely and utterly by myself. No cell phone, no radio to implant messages in my head on what I'm going to wear and what I'm going to eat. No TV, no none of that stuff. Just constantly me and me and me in my head, and just revising, micromanaging everything I had done in my career up to that point and what I wanted to do. And that was at the start of 19. That was all 2018. At the start of 19, we already had a good idea, me and my management, of exactly what we were going to do, mapped out in detail, and we went and did it. So it's awesome to see it come to fruition.
See, I just think it's super inspiring, Corey, to everybody who's trying to next level themselves wherever they're at. And that was a huge gift that you had the opportunity to take time and do it, and credit to you for actually stepping into it and making it happen. Hey, I want to give you a second to give your liquor brand, Recuerdo Mezcal, some love here. I know it's available in Mexico and it's coming to Miami in January. What do you want the people to know about the product as you step into the liquor business?
I want to put something in my body that I'm not going to get a hangover from. I don't want to feel like shit. I'm an athlete. A lot of people say I shouldn't even be drinking. I'm a human, you know. I want to have a drink. After I knocked out Ben, I had a little drink. After the Nate Diaz fight, I had a little drink. But I'm kind of like a greedy motherfucker. I don't want to have a drink and then when I go to the gym the next day hurt. So I had to find the right component, something right that I'd have no hangover from. So we tried a couple drinks, and the one that, and if you're wondering how did I come to the conclusion, I drink and then work out the next day. And the one that felt the least painful, that's the one that I kept and that I really enjoy. And after seeing the process, I see why it's the best for the body, you know, and that's mezcal. It's from when you plant the seed to get it to the fermentation stage, it takes 6 to 8 years. You know, that's what you're putting in your body. You're putting in a number of fruits and things like that. So I don't want to say no hangover, but me, myself, I haven't had a hangover yet from drinking mezcal.
Everything in moderation, right?
Yes, sir.
Last one here. You get praise for being really smart and also for being a dog who just flat out loves to fight. Which one are you more proud of, the dog or the mind?
If we're talking about the fight mind, I'm one of the most intelligent dudes to step in that cage for a fact. But that dog is a testament to my life, to who I am. You know, I don't think not everybody's born tough. Some people are, but life makes you tough, or makes you tougher, or breaks your ass. You know, and my dogness is just a testament to my everyday to day struggle, just to get to the pros. And then from the pros, 16 years later, I'm here. I'm here, you know, in a field where guys usually last 7-8 years and they're done. They're flat. They don't have nothing. They got no chin in them left. They got done. They did all the steroids that they could, and their bodies are shit. I've never done steroids, so that's why 16 years later, I'm still able to do this sport, you know. I didn't peak out and have some great grace period, and then after that, I'm shit. I'm fucking looking like a chick that gave birth when I'm on the weight, on the scales and stuff. No, I've stayed the same. Throughout my career, I'm still baptizing people because I'm the same guy that I've been since I started, just a little more skilled now.
Last one for real here, because you're talking a lot about your journey. And, you know, I watched some of your short films here, and they use the Scarface music over and over again. And there's sort of that whole Tony Montana feel, and you had the, you know, your the outfit going into Madison Square Garden, you're looking like him. That's a stereotype that some Cuban Americans they don't appreciate. And then there's also the part with someone not born with privilege financially, right? And they'll do anything to get the money, the power, the respect, all the stuff that you've done, and you know, you've got your dad as a part of this, your journey too. So I'm just curious how that all sort of boils down into you, where, you know, where that respect is, if that makes sense.
Well, definitely the Cubans that don't like it, I understand them 100%. There's a lot of Cubans that don't like that stereotype because they're not from that world. They're not drug dealers. They're not scam artists. They're not any of that stuff. They're not violent people. They're just hardworking people. A lot of doctors, a lot of great people come from the Cuban community. We're not all criminals. A lot of them are actually not criminals. So I get it why they don't like that stigma. But I'm not so in love with the beauty of the movie to me isn't because he's selling drugs and killing people. It's because it shows the dog in him that he wanted to get out of that hole, and he did it by all means necessary, you know? I'm not advising anybody to go start selling drugs or robbing drug dealers, nothing like that, you know? So don't let it go to your head and stuff, people watching. But yeah, I like Scarface. It's a cool movie, man. Plus, it's based out of Miami. How can I not love this movie?
No doubt. Hey, we're coming down there for the Super Bowl. You gonna be around, Jorge? We'd love to see you.
Yeah, I'll be around. I'll be somewhere in Miami.
Okay. Hey, we appreciate the time today, man. Congrats on your success. It's been an incredible journey. I love doing the research for this interview, Jorge. Your journey's phenomenal. And props to your dad as well. Your letter to him on Father's Day was super awesome. So that's a great relationship. Thanks, man.
Appreciate that, man. You have a great day, man.
You too.
And that is my conversation with Jorge Masvidal. Hope you enjoyed it. Subscribe, rate, tell a friend. On the Mark with you every Monday afternoon. We will see you next week.